The name of the message is Light and Darkness. Light and Darkness. Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 to 17. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, He departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, He came and dwelt at Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region in the shadow of death, light is sprung up." From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, verse 16 will be our main text, but let us consider the verse in context, looking at the verses which come before it as we look at this passage today. Now, it is thought that there was a year or so that passed between verses 11 and 12 since our Lord's temptation and the calling of His first disciples, which follow this text where we are in Matthew. This begins his account of our Lord's public ministry in Galilee. In these verses, we see the Lord preaching in the synagogues and along the streets of Galilee after the imprisonment of John the Baptist. These are sweet views of Jesus, Hawker says, in His humbleness of character, as He is the light amidst the darkness. He is the light amidst the darkness. And we know that He's called the light. He's the light of the world. Look at verse 12. "Now when Jesus had heard John was cast into prison, He departed into Galilee." Now John was cast into prison by Herod. He was there sometime before he was put in prison or was put to death. And from there he sent two disciples to Jesus, which is spoken of over in Matthew chapter 11, verse 2. "And now when Jesus heard of this imprisonment," his imprisonment, as our text proclaims here in Matthew chapter 4, verse 12, "He departed into Galilee." And He didn't do this out of fear, because our Lord didn't fear anyone. He had no one to fear. He did this to call His disciples who lived in that country. Let's read the next verse. "And after leaving Nazareth, He came to Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali." Luke tells us that our Lord was thrust out of Nazareth after He preached a message to the people. And this was all according to God's purpose and plan. Look at Luke chapter 4, verses 16. Luke chapter 4, verses 16 to 30. "And He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up. And as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read." Luke chapter 14, verse 16. "And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it is written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon Me, because He hath anointed Me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent Me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And He closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on Him. And He began to say unto them, 'This day is the Scripture fulfilled in your ears.' And all bear witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of His mouth. And they said, 'Is this not Joseph's son?'" Now this is where he grew up. "And they said, 'Is this not Joseph's son?' And He said unto them, 'You will surely say unto Me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country.' And He said, 'Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel at the time of Elias the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Nahum the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. They wanted to kill him. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. Christ is the message of the Holy Scriptures, beloved. He's the message of the Holy Scriptures. He was the fulfillment of the passage that he read. And he was and is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament Scriptures. All the law and the prophets, all the types, all the Psalms, all the Proverbs, all the history of the Old Testament speaks about Christ Jesus our Lord. And they find their fulfillment in Him. The message of divine sovereignty was too much for these proud, self-righteous men and women to endure. And the gospel preacher does not labor for the approval of men. We labor with our eye toward our Savior, toward our Lord, towards eternity, towards He who dwells in eternity. And God's people will rejoice over the preaching of His gospel. And the self-righteous will despise the gospel message. And they will despise the messenger, loving darkness rather than light. And so our Lord leaves Nazareth and comes to Capernaum. Back in our text, in verses 14 to 16. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Nephilim, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region, in the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 9. This fulfills a prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9. Verses 1 and 2. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Have seen a great light. They that dwell on the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Let's go back to our text in Matthew chapter 4, verse 16. It says this. The people which sat in darkness. They sat in darkness. Saw great light. And to them which sat in the region, in the shadow of death, light is sprung up. He came to Capernaum because He has sheep there. Now, Capernaum was in Galilee, the place of the Gentiles who were nothings and nobodies to the Jews. They were despised by the Jews. They were poor and illiterate, uncouth. Now, think of that in light of this Scripture. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Think of that in light of the Scripture right here. This is marvelous. It brings the Scripture alive that we've read many times. But look at this. They were nothing and nobodies. But God had some sheep there. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 29. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many rise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world, the common things of the world, to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world, confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in His presence. He chooses those who are despised and rejected, that no flesh should glory in His presence. We have been made to see our desperate need of Christ, we who believe. And these are people from whom our Lord would call out, a people to serve Him, by whom He would build His church and kingdom. Because there were some among these folks who were to be trophies of His grace. trophies of His grace. Now think of all the people, you who are saved, you who are redeemed. Think of all the people you grew up with. The people in your life. And yet God chose to make you a trophy of His grace. It's so humbling. It brings us low. Now we see in Scripture that darkness never seeks the light. Darkness never seeks the light. The lost sinner never seeks Christ on his own. Never. Darkness never seeks the light. But note, He who is the light came to those who sat in darkness. He came to them. To those who sat in darkness. They walked in darkness, Isaiah said. But Christ comes to them. He comes to them. And this is a precious truth that never changes, beloved. That never changes. The sinner, in the darkness of their sin, will never seek Christ. He just won't. Not by their own power. They have no ability. But He who is the light, He who is the shepherd of His people, He will seek out His lost sheep. He'll seek them out. And where are we when He finds us? We're sitting in darkness. We're sitting in darkness. We walk in darkness until we're found by Him. And the text before us brings forth the spiritual state of natural man. The spiritual state of natural man. They're in darkness. They sit in darkness. They enjoy the darkness. They enjoy it. They're reposing in the darkness. They're content. They're content in the darkness. They walk in the darkness. They walk in a blind, deprived state before God. Hopeless, helpless, dead in trespasses and sins. And let us remember that where there's no spiritual light, there's no spiritual life. Where there's no spiritual light, there's no spiritual life. Thus, they're in total darkness. How do we know that? Turn, if you would, to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Look at this. John chapter 3, verses 17 to 21. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Now, we know that doesn't mean everyone. We know that from studying this portion of Scripture. But God sent His Son not into the world to condemn the world. Why? We're already dead in trespasses and sins. What does God have to do for a man to go to hell? For you who don't believe that are here, what does God have to do for you to go to hell? Just leave you alone. What does God have to do to save you? Everything. Everything. Now, for the believer, we rejoice in the fact that He does everything. I love it. Full salvation. That song is wonderful. We praise God for a full salvation. Salvation that is complete. Finished. All by the work of Christ and Christ alone. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. That's pretty clear. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. Look how plain this is. That light has come into the world. And man loved darkness rather than light. And these people sat in darkness. They loved the darkness. And we who are redeemed, we can't boast because we loved it too at one time. We loved it. But God has made us to differ. He's the only one who has made us to differ. That light has come into the world and man loved darkness rather than light. Why? What's the root cause? Because their deeds were evil. They're sinners. They're sinners by birth. They're sinners by nature. And they're sinners by choice. And such were we who are redeemed. And we're still sinners, but we're saved sinners now, we who believe. But this is the state of natural man. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. So this darkness that they sit in here, spoken of in our text, this is a deep darkness, and it envelopes the world. It envelopes the world. The ones who are without the gospel are in darkness. They sit in the darkness of their ignorance of the things of God. And I don't say that in a despising way, because I was there. I was ignorant of who God was before He saved me. Now, I had cooked up who I thought God was in my mind, but that wasn't the God of the Bible. And so this is the truth here. They sit in ignorance of the things of God. They are in the darkness of error, in the darkness of their self-righteousness. We were there. Again, we don't look at this going, well, look at those sinners. No. We who are saved by grace goes, that was me. That was me. And they're in the darkness of their guilt before God. But they don't think they're guilty. How do we know that? Just tell someone they're a sinner. Most people don't believe they're sinners. They don't believe they're guilty. But God's people say, I'm guilty before God. But praise God, He saved me by His grace. He saved me by His grace. So we see their hopeless state. The hopeless state of their situation. They sat in darkness. And let us note in awe and wonder the text before us. We who are the beloved of God, again, because this was our state before the Lord saved us. We were just like the inhabitants of Capernaum. Just like the Gentiles of Galilee. Long ago, you and I were in deep spiritual darkness. We sat in darkness because we loved it. And this was where we were when the Lord sought us. He found us. When He found us, this is where every believer was, sitting in darkness. We're just like that lost sheep spoken of in Luke chapter 15. And the Lord came and rescued us. Sought us out. We who sat in darkness. And this is the wonderful, merciful grace of God, which is only found in Christ Jesus our Lord. Turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5. We see this portion of Scripture. Look at this portion of Scripture here. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 14. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. Christ has offered Himself for His people, the sinless sacrifice, is a sweet-smelling Savior unto God. That's good news for sinners. That's wonderful, wonderful news for sinners. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as it has become a saint. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye partakers with them. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. Look at this. For ye were sometimes darkness. There's where we were. For ye, and that's plain, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Don't walk like the world. Walk in light. Don't be like the world. For to walk in light. Walk in Christ. We're new creatures in Christ. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of these things which are done of them in secret. But all things are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doeth doth make manifest his light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. But look at verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness. There's our natural state. And then look at verse 16 again in our text in Matthew chapter 4, verse 16. The people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light has sprung up. Here we have a prophecy of Zacharias, John the Baptist's father, fulfilled when he proclaimed this over in Luke chapter 1. I'll read this in verses 78 and 79. It says, Through the tender mercy of God. Actually, turn there. Let's take a look. This is important. We need to take a look at this. Luke chapter 1, verses 78 and 79. But keep your finger in Matthew chapter 4, verse 16. I know I got us bouncing around a lot today, but this is an important portion to look at here. Luke chapter 1, verses 78 and 79. Prophecy of Zacharias, John the Baptist's father, is fulfilled when he proclaimed in Luke chapter 1, verses 78 and 79. It's proclaimed when the people sat in darkness and saw a great light. To them which sat in the region in the shadow of death, light has sprung up. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 78 and 79. Through the tender mercy of God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us. The light has sprung up in the darkness. The dayspring being Christ hath visited us. To give light to them that what? Sat in darkness. And in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace. And note in verse 78, it's by the tender mercy of God that this has occurred. It's by the tender mercy of God that God has shown mercy to His people and not poured out wrath upon us for our sins. By the tender mercy of God. It's by the tender mercy of God that He died as our substitute upon Calvary's cross. And that He bore the penalty for our sins. For we who believe. For His people. All of them on Calvary's cross. And the source and spring of this pardon is the free grace and abundant mercy of God. Look at it. Through the tender mercy of God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us. The source and spring of our pardon, beloved, is the free grace and abundant mercy of God. Nothing else. It takes its rise from there and comes to us in and through the blood and sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as the sun rises every day, unasked for, it just rises. So as Christ, the light rose in the darkness for us. We didn't ask for it. We were sitting in darkness, quite content. So were these people in Capernaum. It was the mercy, God's mercy, that moved God to enter into a covenant with His Son in the forgiveness of all our sin. It's God's mercy that moved God to set forth His Son in His eternal purposes. And decrees, and to send Him forth in the fullness of time to shed His precious blood for our sins, for the remission of our sins. It's through the tender mercy of God. And it was through the tender mercy of God to us that He provided a lamb for a burnt offering. And then accepted that sacrifice and found satisfaction in the sacrifice of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in our room. And in our state. All by the tender mercy of God. And it is by the tender mercy of God that He has forgiven us all our sins. For Christ's sake. And for Christ's sake alone. What mercy is on display here. What mercy. What love is here before us. The everlasting mercy and love of God to His people. Look at our text again in verse 16. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region in the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Again, who are these people? Well, the immediate reference is to the inhabitants of the northern Palestine, the unfortunate Israelites who were the first to forsake the God of their fathers and the first to fall under the rod of the heathen oppressor. And what are they doing again? They're sitting. They're sitting in darkness. They're content with their condition. As one commentator said, a strange stupor has taken possession of them, and they cannot illuminate their own dark souls. What a picture of a lost sinner. What a picture. And Christ comes to His people who are sitting in darkness. Here's the prophet's image, a land of gloom, its inhabitants seated helplessly in darkness, hopelessly in darkness, and the light comes to them, and this being Christ Jesus our Lord. And think of how Christ dispels the darkness that we are in. Think how He dispels the darkness that we were in when He found us. He dispels. We're born again, regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God. When the first dawn of grace breaks upon your soul, when the Holy Spirit of God is making you willing to come to Christ, this is the breaking in of divine light. And it destroys the power and darkness of spiritual ignorance which we were in. And by God's grace, we are shown and convinced that we are lost and ruined sinners. That we can't help ourselves in that condition. That we are unable to save ourselves. And we see the awfulness of our sin. We have revealed to us at that time the awfulness of our sin. And how we are fully deserving of the wrath of God for those sins. And what does it do? It brings us low to the Savior's feet. Low, and we ought not to ever move from there. Low to the Savior's feet. We look to Him and Him alone for what? For pardon of all our sins. And then we keep looking to Him, don't we? We never stop looking to Him. Do we deserve pardon for all our sins? Absolutely not. But the believer has pardon for all their sins and the salvation of their eternal soul. And this also breaks our pride, as well as the power of the ignorance which we were in. It makes us teachable. Teachable. God's people, we want to be teachable. Childlike. The Lord shows us the blindness and foolishness of our natural state. And what does it do? Once again, it leads us to flee to Christ. We flee right to Him. Is this not all delivery from the power of darkness that we were in? Is this not delivery from the great state of darkness that we were in when we're born again by the Holy Spirit of God? It's because the light, Christ, has shone in our hearts. We're born again by the power of God. A mighty work of the Holy Spirit of God. And it's all because of the mercy of God towards us. That's it. The tender mercy of God. Destroys our pride because we know there's nothing good in us. We know we don't merit this. And think also of the darkness of the power of sin. When we were being drawn to Christ, we began to feel the burden of our sin. We began to feel the burden of our sin. We began to see our condition before God as one of condemnation for our transgressions. But when the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ shines in our hearts, again we see that all our sins are forgiven. What a Savior. What a Redeemer. And the light shines in the darkness. And we see that all our sins are forgiven, paid for by the precious blood of Christ. And we rejoice. We rejoice that God has delivered us from the great darkness. That He's delivered us from the power, the penalty, and the guilt of our sin. Not the presence, though. Because we're still sinners, aren't we? One day, though. One day soon. Our lives are like a vapor. One day soon, we'll be delivered from the presence of sin. What a day that'll be. What a day that'll be. We're delivered from the guilt, condemnation of all our sin. How? Through the atoning, precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God is shown in our hearts. Now we love Christ, we love His Word, and we love His people. Oh, what darkness we were in. We were also under the power of Satan, the one who Scriptures calls the strong man. Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 11. He's called the strong man. But beloved, there is one who is stronger than he. And he has came upon him and overcome him. The Lion of the tribe of Judah delivers his people from the strong men. Look at Luke chapter 11, verses 21 and 20-23. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor, wherein he trusteth, and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth. Oh, we were in the grasp of the strong men, but a stronger than he has delivered us. And God's people rejoice. We rejoice. My, what a Savior. We who are redeemed have been delivered from the power of the strong men, from the darkness that we sat in. And the Lord continues today to deliver His people out of the darkness, calling them by His grace through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the preaching of His Word. And they who were in darkness now walk in the light, which is Christ. Turn, if you would, to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. We looked at verses 1 to 4 in Sunday school, but this time we'll look at verses 5 to 10. This then is the message which we have heard of Him. And remember, the one writing this laid his head upon the bosom of Christ, walked with Him, heard Him speak, beheld His majesty. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, and a lot of people say that, don't they? Then look what it says. We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, if a person claims they don't sin, I've ran into a few of those people, and I've told them what it says right here. I say, you're making God a liar. You're a liar, and you're saying that God lies, because in His Word He says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His Word is not in us. God doesn't lie. We're all sinners. Every single one of us. Whether you believe it or not. We're all sinners. Then look at verse 17 in our text. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. We'll close with this verse. We'll look a little bit at a few things here, though. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That message still goes forth today. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The message our Lord preached was the same as that of John the Baptist. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Our Lord Jesus Christ could have dazzled these men's minds. He could have. He's the King of glory. He could have dazzled their minds with deep, profound theology. He could have. Think of that. He's the God of glory. He could have unraveled the hidden mysteries of prophecy. Or He could have opened up to them the complex difficulties of the law. He could have opened them up right before them, right? But He didn't. He chose not to do so. The King of glory Himself. He preached one message. He preached the necessity of repentance. The necessity of trusting Him alone for acceptance with God. In Acts chapter 20, verses 21, the Scripture declares this, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed unto you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and then also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. He preached this message constantly, and His preachers preached this message. Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. He preached this message urgently. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent! For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that command still goes through today. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I don't know when I'm going to die, and you don't know when you're going to die. But I praise God that I won't face Christ without His righteousness. And it's all by His grace and by His mercy that that's the case. And I know it's so for you who believe too. Look at this in Luke chapter 13, verses 1 to 5. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. That's sober. Or these 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them. Think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He preached that message urgently, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Oh, my prayer, and I know the prayer of the saints here, if you do not know Christ, our prayer is that Christ would reveal Himself to you and grant you faith and repentance to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of your soul.